WTHL's Art Chansky joins us now here in the studio for his thoughts on Mack Brown. Again, familiar name in Chapel Hill, but someone we haven't seen here in 20 years. What are your thoughts?
Well, lots of them, Aaron. A little surprised, very excited. If they wanted a splash, and I think they wanted a splash, they're going to get a big splash because Mack Brown, been a long time. I remember 30 years ago when he first came. He won every press conference that he held, but yet when they started playing, he went 1-10 and 1-10. So the rubber meets the road when the team gets on the field next year against South Carolina. The expectations will be high, and I'm sure it's pretty clear that they didn't start talking to Mack Brown between the end of the game Saturday and 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. So my hope is that they talk long enough that if it did happen, that they would have covered all the bases. A lot has changed from academics here to even more money put into the program, and I think that's good and bad because the money has created some upgraded facilities, but you need money to pay for those, and they need to sell more season tickets, and I think they'll do that with Mack Brown. But he is a he's a CEO coach, and he always has been that way. He relies heavily on his staff, and I think the staff that he brings with him is really important, from the coordinators on down to everything. The one thing that I think concerns me a little bit, because I want Mack's a friend. I've known him for a long time. I want him to be successful, and obviously I want Carolina to be successful. You know, the one thing that concerns me is that it's been a long time, and can he do the same things that he did when he came here, and that was win over the high school coaches in North Carolina, and that gave him a leg up recruiting. Now, first of all, that was 30 years ago. Mack was 37 at the time.
Right.
And all of those coaches, I think, are pretty much gone.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing, the other factor in Mack Brown's rise, even though he did go 1-10, he was recruiting well during those years. I'll never forget, in his office, outside his office in the old football center, there was a sign that said, "It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when." And so there was no question that he felt they were going to be successful, but they needed to lay the groundwork with recruiting. And at that time, if you remember, Dick, I don't know if you remember, how old are you?
Slightly before my time in Chapel Hill,
But anyway, Dick Sheridan's program was just winding down at NC State. Duke was nothing in football. Wake was nothing in football at that time. There weren't even strong programs in the contiguous states. Like South Carolina and Clemson weren't nearly as strong as they are now. Virginia and Virginia Tech weren't that strong. Virginia Tech wasn't even in the league. So the combination of Mack's great recruiting personality and his relentlessness in recruiting and something to sell, the promise of having a big-time program here, he did that successfully. It's going to be a little bit harder this time, I think. But we will get the splash. We'll sell a lot of season tickets. People will be very excited to have Mack and Sally Brown back in Chapel Hill. And hopefully it'll translate into wins on the field. It's really funny. They opened the 2019 season against South Carolina in Charlotte. When Mack Brown was at Texas, after he went to his second national championship game and lost to Alabama, Will Muschamp was his defensive coordinator and was named the coach in waiting at Texas. And the wait was too long for Muschamp, so he left and he went to Florida and got fired there and is now the coach at South Carolina. So if Mack Brown hires a coordinator, a couple of coordinators, one of whom is going to be the designated coach in waiting, that'll be an ironic ironic
matchup. Do you think he brings a whole new staff with him?
I think he'll keep a few. I mean, he'd be very smart to keep Tommy Thigpen and anybody else, Corey Holiday, who have longtime associations with Carolina, and Holiday, of course, played for Mack Brown. So I think he'll keep the coaches that will enhance his staff. He won't keep anybody that that won't do that. And right now, I'm sure it's the idea of two coordinators who can run the offense and run the defense and let Mack Brown be the CEO overall. How recruiting is going to be handled, I don't know, because Mack was a relentless recruiter. He was on the road all the time, talking to a lot of people. And then, you know, in Dean Smith later years, he let his assistant coaches do a lot of the scouting and recommendations, and then Dean would go in and make the close. So I'm not sure how Mack will handle that. He's been out of coaching for 5 years. His departure at Texas wasn't on the best terms. Probably he has another challenge left in him, and this is a place, probably the only place he would go because of the comfort level he has here. So it's an exciting time for Carolina. My sources tell me it's an absolute done deal, and he'll be introduced sometime this week. So I'm excited. I'm a little concerned about you know when that rubber meets the road.
Right. Well, recruiting is going to be a big deal, and I'm wondering, like, what is the difference between being a 37-year-old coach going out and recruiting and being a 67-year-old coach? Like, you're recruiting players to a program that they're going to want to be around for 4 years. Is that guarantee going to be there when you've got a coach that's definitely in the later part of his career?
Yeah, I think Mack Brown can say without question to the kids he's recruiting now that he'll be here for 4 years. I wouldn't be surprised if his contract starts off as a five-year
contract. Five-year deal, yeah.
But what concerns me the most, it took Mack a couple of years to really solidify his relationship with high school coaches, and that's going to have to start all over again. And now, what does the name Mack Brown mean to 18, 17, and 18-year-old kids? Probably not much. Coach at Texas, and maybe I remember him, that kind of thing. And the new coaches, the high school coaches, the relationships have to be reestablished before they would steer a particular player to a school. I think all the high school coaches help their players make a decision when they're offered scholarships, but whether they get involved with suggesting or recommending a school really depends on how they feel about the school, and the conduit to that is obviously the head coach.
Speaking with Art Chansky, talking about Mack Brown, who is by pretty much every source about to be named as Larry Fedora's successor at UNC. So what does it say about UNC's commitment to college football that they're making a hire like this? What does it say about Bubba Cunningham's thought process? You mentioned selling season tickets a couple of times there. How much is that a factor here?
I think it's a big factor because Larry Fedora had lost a lot of the alumni and fan base. He had lost pretty much all of the administration at Carolina that was didn't want to. You know, normally in a time like this, when the athletic director has hired the coach has four straight bowl teams and then's had a couple of bad years.
Right.
He gets another year. And I go back to Tom Butters way back in 1984 when everybody thought he was going to fire Mike Krzyzewski. Well, what he did was give him a new contract. So he recommitted to Krzyzewski, and look what's happened since. Same thing happened to Frank Beamer. You know, in his first few years at Virginia Tech, all of Virginia Tech fans wanted him out. And what did they do? They gave him a new contract, and he took it from there.
Right.
So, you know, it really depends on, you know, whether he can get players in the program up to, you know, that winning mentality, and then also get some players in here right away. He will have between now and the first week in February, when the official signing date for football is, to steal a 5A quarterback from some who's recruited to another school, because he is Mack Brown. He has a lot of contacts all over the country, and he can promise a starting position or a chance at a starting position. So, you know, that's going to be a big factor, and you know, we'll have to see. But we're going to win every press conference starting from whenever Mack is introduced or reintroduced through the summer, through the Operation Football before the season starts. He's going to win every press conference, and whether David Cutcliffe and Dave Doran and Klassen at Wake Forest, and certainly Dabo and Muschamps at Florida, at South Carolina and Clemson, and the coaches in Virginia, whether they'll be quaking in their boots because Mack Brown is back, I don't know. You know, they'll say, you can win the press conference and you can get the pub. we'll see you on the field.
Speaking with Art Chansky, and the two arguments that I kept hearing over and over again in the last couple of weeks that were good arguments for keeping Larry Fedora and letting him continue for another year were, number one, it was going to cost too much money to let him go, the $12 million that we're going to eat with his contract, plus however much we're going to be paying Mac Brown, which is going to be significant. And number two, we couldn't get anyone better than Larry Fedora. We're not going to get anyone who's going to be a better coach or lead them to a better record in 2019. So both questions. Number one, financially, is this a good move for Carolina? Is the UNC athletic department in a better place financially because of this? And number two, does Mac Brown's hire make Carolina a better football team in 2019 than we would have been with Fedora?
I don't know the answer to either of those. Actually, I know the answer to the first one. No, it doesn't, because first of all, you're forking out $12 million to a coach.
Right.
Now, if Larry Fedora becomes the head coach at Texas Tech, where they fired Kingsbury just the other day, then that $12 million goes down to the difference between what his contract is there and $12 million. So it could be mitigated in that regard. Maybe he'll just sit out of coaching for 4 years and spend time with his family.
We've seen that once before.
Do that. So, but from a financial standpoint, what they have to pay Mac, and Mac, I'm sure, is very well-to-do with the money he made at Texas, and it's more the money that they have to put into the program so he can get the assistant coaches and the staff. Building a super staff is absolutely key to this thing. If you go back, that I mentioned Johnny Majors, I researched it. There has never been a coach in the modern era of college football who has left the place, stayed away at least 10 years, and then gone back and had success. Johnny Majors is the biggest example.
Yeah.
How long was
Bill Snyder away from Kansas State? Was that like three years? Yeah, it wasn't that long.
Johnny Majors won the national championship at Pitt with Tony Dorsett. He goes to Tennessee, where he was a star player, two-time SEC Player of the Year, and ends up getting fired at Tennessee after maybe 12 years or something. Then he goes back to Pitt, and he's 12-32 in his 4 years at Pitt before he steps down. So it's different, and I'm sure Bubba has covered that, and I'm sure Mac has asked all the questions about what is different now. He hasn't been out of coaching that long. He's been very closely tied with the game through ESPN and his analysis on TV, which he's great at, because he's one of those coaches that you don't have to speculate on what's going on inside the program at this particular moment. Like before the national championship game, he could tell you what the coaches are doing and the players are doing just before the game, because he's been through that himself. So I thought he was great on TV, but I'm sure that a coach is always a coach is a coach. And if there's another challenge out there that makes sense, and he gets back to move to a community where he was very involved in it here for the time that he was here, and then has an opportunity to take a football program, and there's only one way to go is up right now. So I hope it's a good move for Carolina. It certainly is going to be a good move for Carolina out of the gate. But your question is, in 2021, after having spent all this money, will the program be not just better, but considerably better? Because, Larry Fedora didn't become a lousy football coach in 2 years. He had 8 winning seasons and 11 as a head coach. And there was some mistakes made. Some of the hires that were made after the certain coordinators left weren't the best. And the execution on the field was not good. But you have to figure that he would have gotten those things fixed, and Carolina would be a better team moving forward. So the real question is, in the crystal ball, what's Carolina football going to look like in 2021? Had Fedora stayed, or let's see what Mac Brown does.
Art Chansky, thank you so much.
Thank you.